This is Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Everything you need to know about the six-time NLL champions, Toronto Rock. Now, here's your host, Mike Hancock.
Rock fans, do you ever wake up and everything just tastes a little bit better? The air is a little fresher? You know, that feeling that things are just kind of starting to go your way? Well, I think that's how everybody's kind of feeling right now in Toronto Rockland after a big 14-12 win over the Buffalo Bandits on Friday night at Air Canada Centre. We've got a busy episode of Toronto Rock Total Access ahead of us, and we're right back at it to try and build on things as this week the Rochester Nighthawks are in town on Saturday night on Canadian Night, but we'll have more on that later on during this edition of the show. Coming up today, Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick will chat about how he's feeling after the big win. Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction will be sliding his picks our way once again this week. Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IslIndoor.com will be here to chat about the big Rock win on Friday night. And we'll also chat with the man of the hour, Nick Rose, the scorer of empty net goals. But to get things rolling, the head coach of the Toronto Rock, no doubt in a better mood this week than he has been probably since the opening game of the season. It's the head coach of the Toronto Rock, John Lovell. Hello, JL. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing very well today, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. Of course, everybody always feeling a lot better after a win, and I'm sure it must have felt great. And, you know, I'd ask you just how it felt to win that first game, but I probably know the answer already, so maybe I'll try to phrase it just a little bit differently. What does this win on Friday night do for the guys, maybe more so on the mental side of things, knowing now that you kind of have that tangible result here now to build on?
Well, I think that's exactly right. We have something finally to build on. You know, there's been games to this stretch that, you know, we really haven't deserved to win, but I think we've been playing better late and maybe deserved a better fate in some of those games. But, you know, similar mistakes are still cropping up, and we were a work in progress, but at least we have that one game here now to build on.
Now, Nick Rose, you know, he played great, scored a goal. The crowd went nuts. They were chanting his name. How good was that feeling for everyone just to experience that?
Well, it was wonderful for Nick and certainly wonderful for our team. I think when, you know, when he scored that goal, that gave us a 3-goal lead. And I think there was a sense on the bench that we can't do anything to lose this game now. So it was a great feeling. You know, just watching the video, and like Nick played well in the third, in the fourth quarter, and it was exciting for him to score the goal. But, you know, if you watch the first 5 or 6 minutes of that game, when we were really doing nothing and were being trampled by Buffalo, that's when he really made some saves.
Now, the Rock gave up 12 goals in each of their first four games this season and lost. And maybe you can kind of explain to fans a little bit where, you know, sometimes I think there's a different type of 12 goals. And, you know, despite the fact you give up 12 goals on Friday night, you still win. Maybe it's the timing of them and whatnot. But I guess sometimes this sport can be a little bit tough to figure out for fans. So maybe just talk about the defensive effort and also just, you know, how you give up 12 goals and still win.
Well, I thought there was two or three games earlier that we gave up 12 goals, and if we could get some offense going, we would have had a chance to win. Friday night certainly was a good, what you call a good 12 goals, because Nick made some great saves for us, and I thought we played well defensively over stretches. I think in some of the games earlier, where the breakdowns occurred, you know, we've always found a way to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot, and we almost did it again Friday night when we take a double penalty late in the half, and I think teams have just scored too easily on us with, I think there was one game we gave up 6 power play goals, and, you know, other games where there was just these bad runs with a combination of just not playing well and taking stupid penalties at bad times. So those are aspects of the game that have hurt us defensively, and we still have to clean a lot of those up, and when we do, and maybe we'll put up a better number defensively.
So let's continue a little more on the defensive side of the ball. Anyone really stand out for you individually on the back end? Brody Merrill seemingly leading back there right now. Bradley Cree doing a great job on faceoffs as well over the last couple of games. But anyone kind of standing out to you right now on that defensive side of things?
I think you've mentioned Brody played a great game. Sandy Chapman never plays a bad game. I thought Jeff Gilbert, his last two games have been his best all year, and we need him. He's a big presence, and he's starting to be a difficult guy to play against. Brad Cree has been a great shot in the arm for us, certainly on faceoffs. And, you know, Jamie Benson did a good job for us in the last two games. And, you know, so we're still, I think, a work in progress. I think we have the pieces. It's a matter of, you know, we're doing things maybe a little bit differently than we did before, but, you know, we're getting there.
Now, another guy, I think, you know, we were all kind of waiting. We're all waiting for Dan Lintner to have this breakout game. And it felt like he was so close to having four, five, maybe six goals on Friday night. He did bag a couple. But, you know, how excited should fans be about him? And how close are we to seeing him become that kind of consistent three or four goal scorer?
Well, I think it's going to come, that's for sure, and so I'm glad we got the job done when he only got two, because there's going to be a night he's going to put five or six in there just because of his speed and his aggressiveness and his willingness to go to the tough areas, and you know, he never stops moving there, and he sacrifices his body to get chances, and so that was a nice shot for us, and I thought on, you know, what happened too, that Casey Beers played a better game, and I'm not just talking about his three goals. I thought he was more aggressive, and he was going to the tough areas. And the combination of those three rights the other night, you know, cutting and moving and sealing for each other and picking, it was really neat to watch, and it was even better to watch the second time on video.
So you mentioned that combination of three rights that leads us to our favorite game we like to play around here, the old 6-10 or 7-9 combination. And with Brett Hickey eligible to come off of IR in time for Saturday night's game against Rochester, what's the magic formula here with Hickey? I'm sure if he's healthy, likely going back into the lineup.
Well, we'll have to wait and deal with that closer to game time. I will not play Brett Hickey if he's not 100% to go, because we can't have anybody going down in that game. You know, I thought we played better, certainly with our 10 defenders, and we didn't miss a beat with six guys on the offensive end against a very good transition team in Buffalo. So certainly we gave up transition to Buffalo, but that's to be expected with the way that they play. So, yes, I can't really answer that question. I'm just going to make sure that we have 18 healthy guys in the lineup, and whether that's 6-10 or 7-9, we'll see.
We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock head coach John Lovell. And JL, Josh Sanderson, we haven't actually talked a ton about him since he's come back. A lot of hype, obviously, when he did come back, and for good reason, obviously. But he's got two games under his belt now, 12 points. He kind of seems to be fitting right back in like he was never gone. But what have you noticed the past two games about really his impact, maybe more so on everyone else?
Well, I think Josh has always been the kind of player that, I mean, he demands the most of himself. So, you know, that's just such a great example for other guys on our team. And, you know, he makes people around him better. He handles the ball. He still shoots the ball well. He's got that sneaky shot. And, I think it's been really good for our chemistry. I think it's helped, you know, Colin and stuff too, to a degree. And he just does what he does. And, so I'm not really surprised at it, and he's been a nice addition.
Now, are you seeing any differences in his game at all? Is he up to speed? Is he in mid-season form? Can you notice much of a difference between maybe this February's Josh Sanderson versus last February's Josh Sanderson?
I think this February's Josh Sanderson might be a little healthier and a little more a spring in his step, because it's usually, you know, when you get to the end of February, March, you know, the body's breaking down a little bit from the practices and the travel and the game. So, you know, he hasn't had any of that. So, you know, we're getting him at you know, when it's usually a tough point in your schedule, that middle point. And so it's good to have somebody that's relatively fresh and ready to go.
Now, also, you know, one more question on personnel. Rob Marshall obviously didn't play on Friday night. Maybe a little light to be shed on maybe why he was out of lineup. Was he banged up? Was he a healthy scratch? And do you anticipate him getting back in this week?
Well, I think it was more of a case that I, you know, we hadn't been winning games. There's been some guys struggling on our back end, Rob being one of them. You know, we had some guys that we wanted to try to get into our lineup, like Scotty Johnson. He's been chomping at the bit, and I think he deserved a chance. He's worked very hard to rehabilitate himself and get back in the lineup. You know, Billy Greer was ready to go. So, you know, that was another issue. And, you know, it was just a case of numbers, really. And, you know, Robbie will get back in there. He's been a great player for the Rock for 10 years. And, you know, he struggled a little bit, and maybe down on his confidence a little bit. But it's up to him to work through that. And you know, if he wants to get his confidence back, he's got to work a little harder.
Now let's shift our focus towards this Saturday night's game. Obviously, the Rochester Nighthawks, a team that has given the Rock a little bit of trouble this year already, taking each of the first two meetings. The Nighthawks come in at 3-3, but probably pretty safe to say that this isn't a 500 team you're facing.
Well, Rochester, I don't think is facing a 1-6 team, really. I think we should be better than we are, so it's going to be a great matchup. It always is. It's a must game for us. We know the hole that we have dug ourselves, and we have a long, long way to get out of it. So this is another game on our schedule. It's a home game. It's a must game for us, and, you know, they're always, you know, tough, tough games.
Is there any aspect of the game where you look at right now, and obviously offense was a problem in the first two meetings with the Nighthawks, but is there any one particular area, the aspect of the game, you know, a little thing, a detail, something like that, that you know that the Rock are going to have to be better than Rochester at on Saturday night to get the win?
I think we're going to have to play with a lot more poise and discipline than we did the last time. We played a great first quarter, even first 25 minutes in Rochester, and, you know, and then found a way to shoot ourselves in the foot with penalties, and a game that we should have been in, had a lead, you know, ended up, we're being down 7-2 at the half. So that's a game that just got away from us. We did some things that we wanted to do. We had a good pregame meeting, and our preparation for that game was good, I felt, and then the game just got away from us. So, you know, we have to play with a little bit more poise and certainly more discipline, and we have to play hard, and there's no shifts offs against those guys when you have two of the best players in the league in Dan Dawson and Cody Jamieson.
All right, JL, well, thanks a lot for joining us here on the show today. Obviously, everybody in Toronto hoping this team can get on a roll now and start to make their way back up the standings and hopefully jump into a playoff spot not too far down the road. Thanks a lot, and best of luck this week. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, Mike, thank you.
All right, that was John Lovell, the head coach of the Toronto Rock. Coming up in a moment on the show, we'll have Toronto Rock goalie Nick Rose. But first, don't forget that the Rock will be at home this Saturday night against the Rochester Nighthawks. Get your tickets now. It's Canadian Night, presented by Backley Construction. And it's also Stefan LeBlanc bobblehead night. The first 5,000 fans into the rink will get one of these limited edition collectibles. Plenty of great seats are still available at torontorock.com. Diving back into things, what a night on Friday night. Nick Rose was great in goal, and it was the Rock's first win of the season, and he joins us now on the program. Rosie, or should I say Rosie. Nick Rose joins us on the show. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, you know, right off the top here, you know, the fans in Toronto, you know, let's not pull any punches here. They've been pretty hard on you at times during your career with the Rock. But Friday night, wow, everyone on their feet, chanting your name, that was a real moment. And, you know, it was a moment for me personally. I thought it was unbelievable. But, I mean, I can only imagine just how great that felt to hear the crowd chanting your name and to get that win on Friday.
Yeah, no, obviously when the fans kind of show that type of support, it's a great feeling. I was pretty relieved that we were able to get that win, and it was probably one of the more satisfying games that I've been a part of since coming to Toronto. And, yeah, I enjoyed that moment for sure, like anybody would. And, I'm glad that the fans are still behind us. We've obviously struggled so far this year, but we got a bunch of games at home in a row here. And if they continue to do that, that'll go a long way for our team.
Now let's talk about the goal itself, the goal, as we're already calling it here this season. An empty netter, the first for you, and the first ever for a Toronto Rock goalie. But take us through just how that play developed.
The ball kind of bounced behind the net, and I trapped it under my stick, picked it up, and looked up the four. The first guy I saw was Brody Merrill to the right on the sideboards, and I kind of saw one of their guys kind of, it looked like he started running up the floor and then turned back like he was going to go after Brody. So I kind of pumped at him and he did kind of jump a bit. And then I just kind of knew that I was getting, because in our league we're only allowed to have the ball in our crease for 4 seconds. So I figured it was getting close to that. I didn't really see anybody after I kind of looked off Brody, so the middle of the floor was pretty open, so I just figured that was my best chance to kind of do something productive with the ball, and I'm lucky that I hit the mark.
Now, your comment also after the game on the floor, just saying, you know, 1-6 never felt so good. It seems to be something that's kind of making its way through everybody's, vernacular, we'll say, this week already. Everybody's saying it already. What has this win done for you guys as a team, given the rough start to the season?
Honestly, I don't really know how to answer that, because we feel like in the last couple weeks we've been playing a lot better, and that we should probably have another win or two even. So obviously finally getting that monkey off our backs is a good feeling, but we kind of felt like we had turned the corner almost a month ago and just weren't getting rewarded. So For us to kind of have the results pay off is big for confidence if we're going to try and turn this season around.
All right, we're currently in conversation with Nick Rose, Toronto Rock goaltender. And Rosie, we always like to have a little bit of fun with you on the show, and we're still going to talk a little bit of lacrosse here if we've got time. But, you know, we want to get to some important stuff, some off-the-floor stuff, some rock pile stuff. Last year, you, without hesitation, threw Scott Johnston under the bus. You said that he wasn't pulling his weight, around the rock pile. And for those who don't know, you live with Damon Edwards. And now Brett Hickey also. But we need an update here. Is Scott Johnston still the guy that's having trouble pulling his weight? What's Brett Hickey's addition been like to the rock pile as well?
Well, the Hickey addition's been a good one. We're all kind of on different schedules, so we actually don't interact with each other as often as you think during the week, at least. And then I don't know what to say about Scotty. He does his part. He's got a day job now, but which is kind of helped him get out of the house and that kind of stuff. And he's been a lot better in the last year from the last time I threw him under the bus. So I'm not going to get on him too much, but there can always be a little extra cleaning and whatnot around the house. So I'll leave you with that.
Well, it's good. This is a good forum for you to kind of maybe air your grievances a little bit as well and get it out there. Yeah. So I got a few questions here. Most likely to, okay? We're going to throw these out. So most likely to not change the toilet paper roll. Leave it empty.
Probably Scotty, but I'm bad at that too. So I'll take the heat on that one.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Everybody's probably got their favorite snack that they go and pick up, or favorite food that they leave in the fridge that they hope no one else touches. But who, without hesitation, is most likely to go and grab that other guy's food?
usually when we have snacks at the house, they don't last too long. So I think we're all pretty guilty of that, but I am going to throw Scotty Johnston on the bus for drinking my waters. I'll bring home a case of water bottles a week, and I'll come back halfway through the week, and they're all gone. And I know Damon gets his own water, and I know Scotty doesn't. So there's only one guy to point the finger at there.
All right, so 88, some big trouble already. All right, yeah. So last one here, just who's most likely to rattle the roof and wake everybody up snoring?
Oh man, I think we got a pretty bad house for snorers. Like I have myself, I'm pretty brutal, and then I've been rooming with I've roomed with Brett Hickey and Scotty on the road this year so far, and they're not too quiet when they're sleeping either. And same with Damon. I've been roomies with him for most of my time in this league, and I know that he can snore with the best of them too. So we're all pretty brutal. I don't know if I'd put anybody over anybody else.
Now, do you guys, I know the team has a kind of kangaroo court system in place. You guys have anything like that going at the Rock Pile?
No, that's something we probably should, because there's a lot of times where someone will kind of screw up and we all kind of look at each other like where do we go from here now? But we don't have anything like that. But usually when someone screws up or whatever, they know that they owe the boys a case of beer or something. But that usually happens out of the goodness of their heart.
All right. Well, Rosie, obviously some business to take care of Saturday night against the Rochester Nighthawks. So far, two losses to those Nighthawks this year. Just quickly to wrap up here, what's it going to take to beat Rochester this Saturday?
It's probably going to take our most complete effort of the season. Like we finally seem to have like all three units, our offense, defense, goaltending going right now, and we're going to have to bring more of the same on Saturday. We've struggled with Rochester the last few years, and they've obviously before last season won three championships in a row. So they're still a very strong team, probably one of the best in the league, and we got to be on our game and bring our best effort of the year to kind of try and get a winning streak going here heading into the bye week.
All right, Rosie. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, and hopefully everything works out for Scotty Johnston at the Rock Pile, and we may have to have him on here just to defend himself maybe at some point here this year.
Yeah, yeah, he's back in the lineup, so yeah, have him out there, and if he throws me under the bus, I'll take my medicine like a man.
All right, Rosie. Thanks a lot, and good luck Saturday.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, that was Toronto Rock goaltender Nick Rose. It's time for a short break here on the show and a SportsCenter update. But on the other side, we've got Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN, as well as Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. But immediately following the break, it's Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. That's all coming up here on Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and before we jump back into things, the Rock's next home game is this Saturday night, so it's back-to-back weekends with action at Air Canada Center. Get your hands on some tickets now. All you have to do is visit TorontoRock.com, and you can grab your seats right now for Canadian Night, presented by Backley Construction, and it's also Stefan LeBlanc bobblehead night, as the first 5,000 fans through the gate will get one of these limited edition collectibles. Also, don't forget, there's always great seats available at the box office on game days if you're one of those last-minute shoppers. As we look ahead to Saturday's matchup with the Nighthawks, let's bring in the owner, the president, the general manager of the Toronto Rock, Jamie Dowick. Jamie, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Mike. A little better than I've been, thanks.
Absolutely, and this is one of those questions we kind of have to get out of the way, but it's probably an easy one. But how did it feel finally getting win number one on Friday night?
Well, I forgot how good a win felt. It's been so long, to be honest with you. It was great. You know, more. You know, obviously, we needed to get off the schneid and start winning some games here. I was pretty pleased with the overall effort from our team, you know, from in all aspects. And it was a big win that we much needed win.
You know, Rosie's quote after the game on the floor when he was being interviewed as the first star of the game was, you know, right away it was 1-6, never felt so good. And is that kind of the general overall feeling around the team right now? Do you think that's kind of the case, and that this is almost finally now you've hit that point where you can kind of hit the reset button on the season and say, okay, now we got to go here. We got work ahead of us, but, you know, this one win, we have to use this as a jumping off point here.
Well, absolutely. We got a lot of work ahead of us. We got a mountain to climb. But, you know, if anyone's ever been a part of something like that, you know, you'd understand Rosie's quote. It really, you know, as the games kind of keep going on, and if two becomes three and three becomes four and four becomes five, you know, it It's tough. It's real tough on a team, and then, you know, you play better and you get some bad bounces. So it was really tough on the team, and you know, it's nice to get the monkey off our back at home against a rival. But, you know, let's hope it springboards it, because we don't really have a lot of room for error the rest of the way here, and we put ourselves in that position. So I was encouraged by what I saw the other night. You know, we're still not in a good position here, but I'm happy with our progress over the last couple of weeks. You know, like I said, no room for error.
Now, to talk a little bit more about Rosie as well, you know, we've talked about this already on the show a little bit here today, but that moment for him when everybody was up chanting his name and, you know, he had just scored the goal, and I just immediately started thinking back to a couple of years ago when, you know, in 2014, it was almost every fan wanted to run him out of town here. And just for that moment for him, maybe just talk about, you know, we know it was all really special for him, but how special was it kind of to sit back and also be a part of it yourself as the owner?
Well, it was great because, you know, Rosie is one of the classiest, nicest guys you'll ever meet, and he's a great player, great teammate, just a great kid. And, you know, I know he was playing for his mom that night because it was her birthday the day before, and they have a real special relationship. And Rosie's just, you know, a great asset and part of the Toronto Rock family. And, you know, Rosie's going to be fine. He's always going to be fine. It takes goalies a little while in this league. And, you know, you got to remember, all these goalies that came in here were replacing Bob Watson. And Bob Watson gave this city, you know, 15 years of unbelievable lacrosse. And so it's tough. But Rosie's a warrior, and, you know, I couldn't be happy for him. You know, I know he hasn't got a lot of starts this year, and it's just the way things have worked out. But, you know, I like to say I'm not surprised, and I couldn't be more thrilled for him that he gets the goal at the end there, you know, because it was a little bit of icing. He won that game for us with what he did between the pipes, and so that was just, you know, icing on the cake.
Now, you mentioned him not getting many starts so far this season. Is that something you think is going to change here?
I would, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, you're gonna see him. I would think if you were a betting man, you'd probably see Rosie this week. But I don't know. I coach will make that decision. But you know, we believe in both of our goalies. We were riding B there at the beginning because we were looking for him to get us kind of going there, just the way things were going. And you know, no blame on him. We need to play better in front of the goalies, which we did on Friday night. And then, you know, Rosie gave us some very timely saves that, you know, kept us in a position to win the game. And that's what we need out of our goaltending. So
now, after getting that first win on your belt, you know, obviously at 0-6, you know, things now at 1-6 versus maybe 0-7. Maybe not drastically different, but maybe they are. Did that win on Friday night maybe change the path in terms of any possible personnel decisions coming up?
Are you going to ask me that right now, really, Mike? listen, we're no, I'm joking. Hey, listen, I'm always looking to improve the team. If I have an opportunity to do that, I will. You know, we're trying to win games right now and go on a run and get ourselves back in this thing. So we'll see what happens. I've talked to a lot of GMs around the league over the past month, to be honest with you. And I'm sure conversations will continue to happen. You know, I'm not in a rush to do anything, but we got to go on a bit of a run here if we want to play ourselves back into the playoff conversation. So we'll see what happens with that.
Currently chatting with Toronto Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. And Jamie, when we talk about any kind of roster moves and after getting the win on Friday night, I don't want to say, you know, do you have confidence in this roster necessarily? I don't think maybe the question is that simple. But maybe more so, you know, how difficult is it even to improve your roster at this point in the season, especially given that you're not really in a great position of power, so to speak, when it comes to making any kind of a deal?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, the reality is, our league is what it is, and you go to camp with 24 guys on your roster. Four of them are on the practice roster, but, you know, with injuries and stuff like that, you move through that pretty quick. You know, there's not a lot of teams looking to help Toronto out. You know, whenever people want to talk about a deal, they're always, you know, looking for your top guys. And to me, trading away my, you know, what I consider to be my top guys doesn't make any sense to me. I believe in them. And so it's tough to make a trade. You're kind of married to your 24-man roster that you come put out in the middle of December, and those are the guys you got to go to war with. So, you know, unless you're bringing in younger guys that, you know, haven't really had an opportunity to take a look at, you know, that's the only way. You know, it's pretty easy to make a few changes. You know, I don't know if that's the approach. You know, our approach right now is to focus on Rochester and win that game on Saturday night and get ourselves to 2-6 and head into an off week. So that right now for me, that's my focus is Rochester this weekend and, you know, be 2-6 when we go to a bye week.
So just to quickly wrap up here and chat a little bit more about that game against Rochester coming up on Saturday night, you look at the first two games against Rochester, the team struggled to score goals. Do you think that was more of a case of the offense not functioning well, Matt Vince having a great night, the Rochester defense? What was it that kind of plagued the Rock in those first couple of matchups with the Nighthawks this season?
Well, I think it was a combination of, you know, our offense, you know, had guys coming back from injuries, some rookies in there. We weren't really gelling. That was game 2 and 3 of the season. And our offense was definitely struggling. I think they're playing a lot better now. You know, they're Matt Ving and their defense, I mean, that to me is a strength of Rochester. So, you know, that's what I expect of them. You know, we have to play better, obviously at both ends than we did against them the first two times, but, you know, we need our offense to continue on the path they've been going over the last, you know, I consider 3 weeks, and we need our defense to come up with another effort like we had last week. And if we get that, you know, we'll worry about us. Rochester's, you know, still an elite team in this league as far as I'm concerned. I don't really care what the record is. They've got the best player in the game on their team, and, you know, they're loaded. So, we'll have our hands full. We know that. Throw the record out the window, and we just got to find a way to get another win this Saturday night.
All right, Jamie, thanks a lot for stopping by, and, of course, best of luck this week.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, that was Toronto Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. Still to come in just a few moments, Steve Rapp will join us on the line. But don't forget, again, this Saturday night, it's Canadian Night presented by Backley Construction, but it's also Bobblehead Night. The first 5,000 fans in attendance will get a limited edition Stephen LeBlanc collectible bobblehead. You can get your tickets now at torontorock.com or, of course, at the box office on game day. Joining me now on the program is Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. Steve, how are things this week?
Not too bad. Nothing that a 2-0 last week wouldn't rectify. So we got two wins and we're happy and we move on.
All right. That sounds good. And of course, everybody here in Toronto Rockland, very happy with the win on Friday night. Now, you stayed away from the Rock last week. You're feeling a little more confident maybe to take another swing at calling a winner in a Rock game. Rock looking for win number 2 on the season. It's at home, but against a pretty tough opponent in the Rochester Nighthawks on Saturday night here.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And I'm going to go with a bit of a homer here. I'm hoping Toronto goes on a roll now that they got that first win and they're off to Chennai. They start a nice extended homestand with that win on the weekend versus Buffalo. They continue that stand against the Rochester Nighthawks. You know, you say Rochester's not a bad team, but they only have 3 wins. 2 of them have come against Toronto, so the Rock have some revenge on their minds here. Rochester's only other win was a close call at home to Vancouver. And they're coming off a loss to Saskatchewan where they had really trouble finding the net, did not score very many goals at all. I'm going to hope the Rock have righted the ship here, start a winning streak against a winnable opponent. They're at a pretty cheap price. They're pick 'em here, so I'm going to take the Rock at a pick 'em at home.
to keep the winning streak alive.
All right. We're all keeping hope alive here. Everybody's feeling a lot better. Big monkey off the back of the Toronto Rock. And moving on the bet slip, Sunday afternoon, the Rush head back to Alberta, once their home province, when they were the Edmonton Rush. They're moving back to play the Calgary Roughnecks here, who coughed up a game really last week in Vancouver. The Rush look like they might be heating up a little bit here as well.
Yeah, but like in my short tenure here as a lacrosse handicapper, I've seen situations where teams are playing their second game in a week against the rest of teams, and it's been a tough spot for those tired teams. We have one here again. Saskatchewan play a tough game at home against Buffalo on Friday night. Then they travel for this afternoon with the Roughnecks in Calgary. This will be a nice revenge game for Calgary as well, as they get to pay back a tired Saskatchewan team for a 19-12 drubbing the Rush put on them last month in Saskatchewan's barn. Things are pretty close in the Western Division. This is an important game for Calgary to stay in the hunt. The fact they get a tired team to do it against is an added bonus, especially as a small dog here. We're going to take Calgary as a small dog at home over Saskatchewan.
Oh, wow. That's a big pick there. Of course, Calgary fighting for their playoff lives right now, especially, losing that game on the weekend to Vancouver, a game that it looked like they had in hand. So these will be interesting picks to track here this week.
Mike, you go broke betting nothing but favorites. You got to bet the dogs now and again, or else you mean have nothing but trouble.
All right, words to live by. All right, thanks a lot, Steve. Always great insight here, and we'll look forward to seeing how we do here next week.
My pleasure, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, that was Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. This segment is brought to you by Sports Interaction. Betting lines are available on all Rock games as well as all major sporting events. Established in 1997 and licensed and regulated in Canada and Jersey, Sports Interaction is a proud sponsor of the Toronto Rock. When we come back here on Toronto Rock Total Access, we'll have Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and, of course, from IsleIndoor.com. There's more to come on Toronto Rock Total Access here on TSN 1050.
Now the script's about to kick off. This party looks wet. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody this track up. Everybody get back. That's why my pin needs a pad, cause my rhyme's on the red tag. Just like I did.
Get into a Mitsubishi and drive with confidence this winter. Finance a 2015 RVR for 0% for 84 months, plus get up to $1,000 off. With our 10-year powertrain limited warranty, you'll enjoy the RVR for years to come. On approved credit, conditions apply. Go to gtamitsubishi.ca for details or visit your Toronto area Mitsubishi dealers, proud sponsors of the Toronto Rock. Mitsubishi, built better, back better. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. Don't forget, big home game this Saturday night as it's Canadian night when the Rochester Nighthawks are in town. It's presented by Backley Construction. And don't forget that the first 5,000 fans in attendance will get a Stephen LeBlanc bobblehead. It's a beauty. You got to check it out. And of course, don't forget that The Rock will also be wearing their special Canadian Night tribute jerseys. So you can get your tickets right now at TorontoRock.com. It's a game you don't want to miss. It's time to bring in from the NLL on TSN and IsleIndoor.com, Brian Shanahan. Shanny, how are you doing today?
Very good, Mike. How about you?
Everybody's doing better. It feels feels like the team is 6-1 and not 1-6. But we'll see if we can build on things here on Saturday night. But, it was a first win for the Toronto Rock, but obviously, it probably goes without saying that it was their best effort of the season, and that's probably why they won this game.
Yeah, and I felt things were moving in the right direction. In their previous game against New England, they just didn't get the finish they wanted, and that game on Friday, I thought, if it doesn't go their way, I mean, it will be very disappointing. But you have to be. You have to be happy with the way they're playing. And they're playing the kind of lacrosse now where you will get wins. It's not always going to happen, but, you're bound to get a few bounces here and there. And finally, the bounces went Toronto's way, and they earned that win for sure. But like I say, I think they've been playing well for a couple of weeks, and they're full credit for that victory.
Now, Nick Rose, known as a real team guy, a glue guy around this Toronto Rock Lacrosse Club, when we look back at this empty net goal and everybody chanting his name and just how great that moment was on Friday night, is it possible that we could look back at an empty net goal as being maybe a turning point in a season?
Yeah, it's possible. It's almost like symbolic more than anything, because I thought he had played a great game. He made some key saves and at critical points. I thought that was the most important thing. There was a number of times where, you know, Buffalo had gone up by a goal and, you know, got a breakaway shortly after, and he made a big save. But what I like about that empty net goal, too, is it didn't look like he was really looking for the empty net goal. He made the save, and he looked to his right to see who was open. To his left, nobody was open, and when he decided, you know, you've only got 8 seconds to get it across center, and only 5 seconds to get it across the crease, he just made the smart play of getting the ball up the floor towards the net. So it was great that the ball went in. I do think he was trying for it, but that wasn't his first option. He decided that was the best option, and it was definitely a happy moment for the Toronto Rock. All the players, you tell, were happy for him and the fans. But, yeah, I think it could almost be a symbolic moment for them because, you know, he had played a great game. And you know, he's such a team guy. And in fact, both their goalies are. Brandon Miller, you could see, was almost as happy as Nick Rose when that went in. So it's nice to see Rose having that kind of success. You know, I know he's more of a backup role this year, but he's always played well against Buffalo, and that continued on Friday.
Now, what did you think of the Rocks mix up front? I mean, you know, they went back to 6-10, and you know, maybe one guy that we're not talking enough about could be even Colin Doyle. Scored a big goal in the later stages of that game. You know, when somebody needed to step up, he did contribute a big goal as well. But you know, no Hickey in the lineup. But what did you think of the mix up front?
I thought they looked pretty good. You know, I think Josh Sanderson has made a big difference, and. He's quietly putting up the points because, you know, he led all scorers with 7 points that game, 1 goal, 6 assists. But, you know, he's not extra flashy or anything. He just finds the open. When there's a guy open, he always seems to make the right play. But, you know, I think he helped the offense a lot because, you know, his style has also moved the ball quickly. I think it might have been Dan Lintner's best game. He scored a couple of goals. And I think it's important, you get a young guy in the lineup and you can still see there's some nerves there, you know, a few drop balls here and there. But I think, you know, the more these guys get in, the more they feel comfortable. And, you know, eventually you're going to need a guy like Dan Lintner to be a big producer on this team. And, yeah, and Turner Evans as well, who didn't play on Friday. But, yeah, I thought the offense looked good. I was happy that Lintner got a couple goals, seemed to take a little pressure off him. And obviously that was a huge goal that Colin Doyle got when he got that. And you could see the emotion. I think this season's probably been a little bit frustrating for him. Probably things are not coming as easy as they have his whole career. It just seems to be the timing is off a little bit, and that's bound to happen when you've missed a whole season. Of course, it's even tougher because when you're coming back at that age, you know, there's always going to be questions as to whether the skills will come back at all to what kind of level they used to be at. And maybe they never will be the level they were at before, but he can still be a solid contributor.
We're currently in conversation with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and islindoor.com. And Shaney, let's quickly shift gears a little bit here and take a little jump around the league. When we look at the Vancouver Stealth right now, it kind of looks like Garrett Billings is becoming Garrett Billings again.
Yeah, he sure is. He's getting his 7 or 8 points every game. And I really like what that whole team is doing lately. But it has seemed to have coincided with Garrett Billings' health. Once he sort of got in that lineup and healthy, I think it takes a lot of pressure off Reese Dutch, who's, you know, another superstar. But then you're getting guys like, you know, Logan Schoosh is coming into his own. He's leading that team in scoring. But, yeah, they played some exciting lacrosse, and it's kind of about time because the first 2 years in Vancouver, they really struggled, and especially at home. And they gave really no reason for the fans to be coming back because they just played some terrible games at home. This year, it was a remarkable comeback they had on a Saturday. I think they were down 12-5, you know, in the third quarter and came back to win it in overtime. And that's the second time this year they've had a pretty – surprising comeback. Earlier in the year, they were down a few goals late in the game to Saskatchewan in Saskatchewan when they scored, I think, 5 straight to win it. So they've showed a lot of heart this year. I think Billings is a big part of their offense. And yeah, finally, I think they're giving the fans out there something to look forward to.
No, obviously that was a big win for them over the Calgary Roughnecks. Like you said, the big comeback, down 12-5, also down 6-0 after the first quarter. Now that Vancouver has kind of leapfrogged the Calgary Roughnecks in the standings, do you expect that the Vancouver Stealth will hang on to this third playoff spot in the West?
I think it's going to be a battle all the rest of the season. You know, Calgary's not going to roll over. You know, they still have a pretty good team. And, you know, even that game, Curtis Dixon at times looks unbelievable, like he can't be stopped. And I believe he scored 9 points. You know, he had 5 goals. Some of them were, like, very pretty. You know, and anytime you have a guy like him in the lineup, you're always going to be a contender. And they've got a lot of pride in that organization. So I think it's going to be a race right down to the end, you know, between Calgary. And one of the keys might be health, too. And Calgary's been missing Dane Dobie the last 2 games, I believe, with an upper body injury. And depending on how seriously that is, that could affect them in the long run.
Now moving to the East, let's talk about the Georgia Swarm. I was down in Buffalo on Saturday night to take in that game, the Bandits and the Swarm, and it looked like the Bandits were about to run away with the game in the first half, but then Billy D. Smith took a major penalty, the Swarm switched goalies, and suddenly it was a lacrosse game, and then in the second half, the Swarm really seemed to take over. They showed some real resiliency, I thought. They had some real fight in them. Where do the Georgia Swarm factor into all of this in the East?
Yeah, it's really a hard team to pinpoint because I think everybody was sort of waiting for them to falter, and it just really hasn't happened yet. They've had a few games where they haven't looked so good. I think earlier in the year they struggled to score goals against New England, and you know, a week ago at home against Buffalo, they got beat 21-14, and that game was never close. But I think a lot of it is, you know, they're a young team, so you can expect the inconsistency, but they've got a very veteran coaching staff led by Eddie Como, and I think, they're really believing in themselves. And, you know, and looking at the box score, it was almost deja vu all over for the Buffalo Bandits. You know, against the Rock, Buffalo was up 12-11 when Toronto scored 4 straight goals, and I think Buffalo was up 12-11 on Georgia late in the third quarter or early in the fourth when Georgia scored about 5 straight goals. So, Buffalo's had a tough weekend stopping these important goal-scoring runs late in the game that give credit to Georgia. And, you know, what I like about them that game, too, is they got a lot of balanced scoring. With 19 goals, it's surprising that nobody got over 3 goals. And, you know, usually a game like that, you've got one guy that's got 5 or 6, but not that game. They, you know, they had a bunch of guys getting 1 or 2 goals, and coaches just love when that happens.
Yeah, I think the Swarm team really going to be a team to keep an eye on here in the second half of the season. But let's refocus on the business at hand, as we've been saying here on the show today. This Saturday night, the Rochester Nighthawks and the Toronto Rock at Air Canada Centre. We've got probably less than a minute here to wrap up, but Rochester has obviously handled the Rock twice already this season. Will the Nighthawks make it a clean sweep this year?
I don't think so, and I think the Rock team that played them early in the season was a different team. That was when they were really struggling to get their offense going. I think they scored, 5 goals against Rochester one game, 7 goals the other game, and Toronto's offense, has looked good for quite a while now. As long as Toronto can keep it all together again, and really, probably on Friday against Buffalo was the first game where we really saw every facet of Toronto's game was good. Toronto, not guaranteeing any win, but I think if Toronto plays their game, there's no reason why they can't be in the mix to win this one. And, sometimes it just depends on how the bounces go, but I do think we are starting to see the Toronto Rock of old, scoring timely goals and, getting big plays all over the floor and, having Jesse Gamble back helps a ton too. I think he's been an MVP type player in the last couple of games as well.
Absolutely. All right, Channy, let's hope, hopefully the Rock can get on a roll here and hopefully you get on a prediction roll here yourself.
I've got one in a row.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, Channy. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Take care.
All right, that was Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IslIndoor.com. Now, before we wrap things up on Toronto Rock Total Access, I have to remind you about the next Rock home game, and that is this Saturday night. It's Canadian Night, presented by Backley Construction, and it's also Stefan LeBlanc bobblehead night. The first 5,000 fans get one of these limited edition collectible bobbleheads. You can get your tickets now at TorontoRock.com. Also, after each and every Toronto Rock home game, you can join the Rock players and cheerleaders at Shoeless Joe's at 276. King Street West, it's the home of the Molson Canadian Toronto Rock postgame party for this season. Shoeless Joe's is located at the corner of King Street West and Duncan Street. And Rock fans, don't forget that you can head to Shoeless Joe's before each and every game and get 15% off your pregame meal just by presenting your game ticket. This is your chance to meet the Rock players and cheerleaders and enjoy an ice-cold Molson Canadian at the postgame party. Thanks to my guests on this week's show, Nick Rose, John Lovell, Jamie Dowick, Steve Rapp, and Brian Shanahan. In the meantime, and in between time, this has been another edition of Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and we'll chat next week.
You've been listening to Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. For the best ticket in town, visit TorontoRock.com and be sure to follow The Rock on Twitter at Toronto Rock LAX. Stop the rock.